All right, Matthew chapter 13, we are talking about the parables. Who wants to do their best in their own words to describe or tell me what a parable is? What is a parable based on what you heard last week? Sister Liz. Right. It's a story that the Lord uses to an earthly story to explain a heavenly truth. We also said it's something, the Greek word, and if you don't really need to know the Greek words to understand the Bible, don't get overwhelmed with that. But the word itself means it's laying something that you understand down beside something that you don't understand, and then comparing the two to help you understand the thing that you don't understand. Now, I know that's it basically means laying it down beside something else, okay? So it's a parable, Matthew 13. Jesus began speaking to them in parables. And notice what it says in verse 11 here in Matthew 13. This is what we're going to focus on today. He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. So last week we said the general theme of Jesus' parables was what? The kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven. Many of the parables in this chapter and others start with the kingdom of heaven. Look in verse 24 of the same chapter. Then another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto. Verse 31. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like. Verse 33. Another parable spake he unto them, the kingdom of heaven is like. Verse 44. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like. Verse 45, the kingdom of heaven is like. Verse 47, again, the kingdom of heaven is like. So, you think Jesus is trying to tell us something about the kingdom of heaven? When we talk about the parables and when we start to look at what they mean, we need to remember this morning, and that we're going to talk about primarily this morning, is what is this kingdom of heaven? We're going to find out about it more so as we study the parables, but we want to know basically, just in general terms, what is the kingdom of heaven that Jesus keeps talking about? What is, after all, based on these parables or these verses I just read to you, the parables that he's teaching are all about the kingdom of heaven. Over in Matthew chapter 4, let's look. Now, we're going to be using our Bibles a lot today in this lesson, so please use it. Open it up and use it. God gave us His Word, folks, to read, not to sit quietly closed on our couch, okay? So use it. Matthew chapter 4, verse 17 says, from that time Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the what? Kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, He went traveling around, teaching and preaching the theme of the kingdom of heaven. Matthew chapter 5, verse 3. Matthew chapter 5, verse 3. It says there that blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And that's where he began, what, the Sermon on the Mount. So the Sermon on the Mount was primarily themed of the kingdom of heaven. Jesus traveling from the time John the Baptist was killed. Jesus came out of the wilderness of temptation and he began to preach the kingdom of heaven. So it was a theme greatly taught and preached by our Lord Jesus Christ. So let's spend the time this morning for a little while this morning in our Sunday school hour and let's find out what is this kingdom of heaven in a general sense? The kingdom of heaven, very prominent in his teaching, but what does it mean? If you know your Bible at all, one thing we need to understand, first of all, is the difference between the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God. Now, let me ask you the question. Is there a difference between the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God? It would sound as if they're different, but does anyone really know, based on the Bible, if there is a distinct difference between the two? Anybody have any thoughts on that? Or is it just all Greek to you? Sister Liz? Okay? She says it's all the same place. Does anybody disagree with her? Brother, there.
The only difference I see is if the kingdom of heaven will be what we have to do down here, our work down here, compared to the kingdom of God that already be in heaven.
Okay. Okay. And that's true. Does anybody else want to add to it? Or anybody else have any other thoughts? Anybody have given any thought to this at all? Is anybody awake? Okay. I'll go ahead and help. Well, that's the whole point of the lesson. Is there a difference? Yes and no. Primarily, when you compare in Scripture, which is what we're going to do, when you want to know the answer about Scripture, where do you look? Scripture. Okay? You don't need to find some book to read. Look in the Scriptures. Okay? So, let's compare Matthew chapter 4, verse 17. I just read that to you. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, turn over to Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1. Verse 14. Okay? Now, that's just the very next book over. Surely, you can find that. Mark chapter 1, verse 14. Now, after that, John was put in prison. Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. And saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Now that is a reference, Matthew and Mark, two different gospels, referring both to the exact same time, exact same person, preaching the exact same message, just using a different terminology. Okay? Look over again, now, Matthew chapter 5 verse 3, we read that, don't turn back there, but I read to you, it says, blessed are the poor in spirit, theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now look in Luke chapter 6, the next gospel over after Mark, Luke chapter 6 verse 20. And here we have Luke's version of the Sermon on the Mount. He lifted up his eyes in Luke 6:20 on his disciples and said, blessed be ye poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Okay? Now, Matthew 13:31, I read that to you a minute ago, but so don't turn back there. That's the parable of the mustard seed. Looking now in Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. Back to Mark chapter 4, verse 30. And he said, whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what comparison shall we compare it? It is like a grain of mustard seed. So it's the same parable given to us by a different evangelist, in this case Mark. And Jesus speaking on the same topic, the mustard seed, but he uses the word kingdom of God. In reality, these terms, as you study this, really mean the same thing. Now, what Brother DeVito said about one being here on earth, one being in God, there is a difference. One being in heaven, excuse me, with God, there is a difference. But we'll get to that in a minute. In reality, overall, generally speaking, when you see the kingdom of heaven and you see the kingdom of God and you see the kingdom of heaven and you see the kingdom of God, it's really the same thing. It's the same topic. The reason that Matthew is the one that uses the kingdom of heaven. Matthew is the one that uses primarily, almost exclusively, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of heaven, while the other, Mark, Luke, and John, use the kingdom of God. Okay? Now, there is a reason for those things. We say that more than likely, if you know the Bible at all, as you learn the Bible, you understand that Matthew is written primarily to the Jews. And Matthew defines Jesus as the Messiah to the Jews. And so therefore, he uses the kingdom of heaven because he doesn't want the Jews, for one thing, the Jews, they would not even say out loud the word God, Jehovah. They would not even mention it out loud out of reverence. They would write it down. they would not even mention. So their reluctance to use the name of the word of the name of God, so Matthew may have used more than likely, also because of their misconception of the coming kingdom. Remember, they were looking for a physical kingdom. A physical kingdom. That's why he said the kingdom of heaven, because obviously that is not of on this earth. The kingdom of heaven is not a physical kingdom on this earth. So the Jews did not mention the name of God out of reverence. Now we've got people who use it as a curse word. But that's another lesson. But the Jews are the primary subjects of the Gospel of Matthew. So he's using the term heaven for that reason. It's emphasizing this God, we don't want to use His name. We don't want to take His name in vain. So we'll use the kingdom of heaven. But as you compare Scripture and Scripture, you see, like we have, that God tells us in His Word that Jesus spoke of the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. Same exact time, same lesson, same person, just a different terminology written, used by the writers. So, the kingdom of heaven to the Jews, primarily, but meaning the same thing as the kingdom of God. Not a physical kingdom. Because he's trying to make a point to the Jews that it's not about establishing a physical kingdom right now. It's about a spiritual kingdom right now. Remember, Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is at hand. What does that mean? It's here. It's here. Now, but see, remember now, the Jews were under Roman authority, Roman control. Rome was the world power at that time when Jesus showed up. Jews were not in power. If you remember Acts chapter 1, when Jesus went back to heaven, all of his disciples said, "Wilt thou now restore the kingdom to Israel?" They're still talking about a physical kingdom. Okay, so we have to understand that to distinguish between the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God is really, there's no distinction. It's just a matter of who you're talking to help them understand it a little bit better. So let's look at this kingdom for a few minutes. Now, we're going to get into some scripture here, but what is a kingdom? A realm. Good. That's exactly what the word I want to. It's a realm of where there is a king and his subjects. A king and his subjects. Now, the term kingdom used by the Jews was often in the Bible is often used as a reign or a dominion or a realm. Listen, but not some geographical area. Denton, the city of Denton, is a geographical area. Okay, the United States of America is a geographical area. But the kingdom, the reign, the kingdom of God is a spiritual reign or dominion, one king and his subjects. There's no geographical boundaries, is what I'm trying to say. There's no state lines, okay? There's no geographical boundaries. There's no walls around this kingdom. There's no state lines around this state or country. So we need to understand, first of all, the kingdom of God simply refers to, the kingdom of heaven simply refers to the reign of God. The reign, not R-A-I-N, but the R-E-I-G-N. The reign, the control, the king God in over his kingdom. Now, the kingdom of God is wherever the reign or the dominion of God is manifested. Wherever the reign or the dominion or the authority or the power of God is manifested. Now, wouldn't you say that that's all of the world? Physically, yes. Let's look at Psalm 103. Let me show you here. Psalm 103. Psalm 103, verse 19. The Lord hath prepared His throne in the heavens, and His kingdom ruleth over all. So, that's from the beginning of time. That has no ending, no beginning. That is infinite. That is ever without bounds. All means all. So really the kingdom of God, in one sense, has always existed. The kingdom of God, in this sense, has always existed. He is always been, always will be, has always been the king over his creation. I mean, after all, if you create it, it's yours. Right? If you create it, it's yours. And the Lord prepared his throne, set up his kingdom over, ruling over all. So his kingdom, his reign in this sense is always there, always has been. But without subjects, without members of his kingdom being loyal to the king, there's not a whole lot of a kingdom to even speak of. Now, the birds praise God with every breath. The flowers praise their king every time they bloom. The trees blossom. The ants do what they're created to do. Everything in God's creation manifests his power and his glory and his kingship, if you will, his authority, his reign, his dominion, right, except for people. Yep. Except for people. The kingdom of God, physically speaking, has always been since the beginning of time. Now, he created the heaven and the earth. It's his. He's obviously the authority. But he, as a king, he's not looking, you know, for the birds and the flowers, the trees and the bees and the ants and the, you know, the turtles. He's looking, he has willed and he has created you and me to be his subjects, the subjects of his kingdom. And so, when God created the Garden of Eden, put Adam and Eve there. He put Adam and Eve there to serve him, king and his subjects, king and servants. He wanted to have that relationship with them where they simply obeyed him. But he was not a dictator. Good morning. He was not an overbearing. He was using his creation to fulfill his will. So in the kingdom of God, we have the reign, number one, of God. But it really wasn't manifest to human beings quite as it was when Jesus Christ showed up. The kingdom of God, in one sense, was always there. He's always been the ruler over all. But in a very special way, the rule or the reign of God was manifested to you and to me with the coming of Jesus Christ. What does John chapter 1 verse 14 say? Somebody quote it to me or read it to me. John 1 verse 14. If you have a King James Bible, read it to me. If you don't, don't. Okay. No, not 1 John, just John 1. Verse 14. Thank you, my friend. That word was made flesh. That word is capital W, referring to Jesus Christ. When that word was made flesh and dwelt among men, we beheld his glory. it was manifest. It was beholding by us. It was seen. It was made public. The glory of the only begotten of the Father. The glory of the King was manifested, was seen, was beheld by human beings because Jesus Christ was made flesh and dwelt among us. Let me ask you something. Why didn't God make Jesus a hippopotamus? You say, that's a silly question. Why is that a silly question? There's lots of hippos in the world too. Why didn't God... Sister Liz, what?
God didn't make a hippo because he wouldn't be able to communicate it to us.
Well, why are we so much better than the hippo? Because that's the way God created. God gave us dominion over all of his creation. In the Garden of Eden, God gave Adam dominion over all. So don't think that you and me, listen, we are not just another part of God's creation. He has created us with a special purpose in mind to have dominion over His creation as we are subject and submitted to His authority.
Amen.
And the kingdom of God is where He rules and reigns, but it began to be manifested and began to really be seen on the earth when Jesus Christ was made flesh. It was foretold in the Old Testament, in the book of Daniel. It was proclaimed by John the Baptist. Look in Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3, verse 1. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, "Repent ye," notice, "for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." What is John the Baptist doing there? He's proclaiming the kingdom of heaven. He's saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He's still foretelling or proclaiming that Jesus is here. It was foretold us by the prophets in the Old Testament. It was proclaimed by John the Baptist here. And we showed you a minute ago, it was preached by Jesus Christ himself. He said, "Repent ye and believe the gospel. The kingdom of heaven is at hand." So the kingdom of God is where the kingdom of heaven, number one, is where there is the reign of God. Now, Jesus exemplified this kingdom to perfection. Perfection. Why? Because he did all things whatsoever pleased his Father.
Amen.
He did not break his Father's law in one jot or even one tittle. He fulfilled the law of his God, his Father, his King, to the letter.
Right.
Complete, fulfilled.
Amen.
Every bit of the law was fulfilled in Jesus Christ.
Right.
That is what God's will is for his kingdom. As us being the subjects and him being the King. Folks, let me tell you something. That's exactly what's going to happen in heaven.
Amen. That's right.
What did Jesus tell them was when he told them about the Lord's the model prayer? We talk about the Lord's Prayer, but it's really just a model, just a type to teach us how to pray. When he was using that prayer to teach them, he said, "Thy kingdom come." What's the next part of that? "Thy will be done." In the kingdom of God, a true kingdom like God wants it to be, his will be done.
Amen.
You know, in heaven, I don't know why this just thrills me. In heaven, every single one of us will do the will of God.
Amen.
Why does that thrill me? Because I get weary with people always trying to do everything but the will of God. Christians.
Amen.
Everything but what God wants. And I just get bored. That wears me out. I'm so glad when I get to heaven, I don't have to worry about that anymore. Because everybody's going to do the will of God.
Amen. Right.
Everybody. A true kingdom is where God reigns. And it's what God prophesied, it's what Jesus preached, and it's what still today, now we're learning about in these parables. It's the person of Jesus Christ, that the reign of God still today. Look over in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 23. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and all power, for he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. Jesus Christ was the first fruits of the kingdom of God. And now everyone that is in Christ, that is saved at His coming, at the coming of Christ, then there will be, Jesus Christ will once again deliver up the kingdom, it says right there in verse 24, to God, even the Father. So the Father is the same. The King, the Father, God, they're all the same person. It's the kingdom. Jesus Christ manifests that kingdom. He came as the first fruits of that kingdom. And now, well, those of us that are born again in Christ, we are also members of that kingdom. And we will one day be given back to God as a gift from His loyal subjects. Look over in Ephesians chapter 1. I'm just showing you some verses here. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 20. Well, this will be verse 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of His power? Now, that's a king right there, folks. Exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He, God, wrought in Christ. He brought it forth in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under His feet and gave Him to be the head over all things. Who's that talking about? Jesus.
Amen.
But notice what it says to the church. It's very much the reign of God is very much spiritual in nature, as we talked about. It's not going to be a physical realm. I just want to show you one verse. Look back in John chapter 18. This is good. This is building up to something that ought to thrill your soul here in a minute. John chapter 18, verse 36. Jesus answered. I like it when Jesus answers, don't you? Amen. I like it when Jesus answers. Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world..." Notice he says, whose kingdom? Wait a minute, I thought he was Jesus. Or is he God? Or is he the King of Kings? Or is he the King? Or is he the... Who is he? Oh, he's all of the above.
Amen.
That's right. That's right. My kingdom, Jesus said. Listen, just another proof of the Trinity. My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Amen. It's not of this world. It's not a physical kingdom. It's a spiritual kingdom. But I want you to notice, next, it's visibly manifested in this world through, by, and in His church.
Amen. That's right.
His church. You see, the church is not a geographical location either. We talk about going to church and we come to this building or go to that building or this location or that location. But in reality, the church is those who have been born again, scripturally baptized, and are members of the body of who?
Amen.
The kingdom.
That's right.
Is manifest. It's a community of souls, you and me, born again children of God baptized, joining a membership of a local church, and the idea of the church is to be in those church members' hearts, God is recognized as Lord and King and Sovereign. Why does the church of the average nowadays church, of the average church, the average building contain people who do not act any different than the world, do not talk any different than the world, do not live any different than the world, and yet we wonder, we say, well, that's what everybody else is doing. But let's get back to Scripture and realize that the King is the one who establishes what He wants in His kingdom.
Amen.
And if you're not a loyal subject to the King as a member of His, it's not about being a member of a church and being a loyal subject to a pastor. It's about being a part of something so much greater than you and me, the kingdom of God. Manifest today in the Lord's church. It should be, I should say. It's supposed to be. That's the idea that God had when He gave us the church. To manifest His lordship. To manifest His head over us. His kingship. His authority. His power that worketh in us which believe. That's the idea. One of the many things that the church does is manifest today the Lord's kingdom. Let's look back in Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. Does anybody have any questions up to this point? I'm covering a lot. I know I want to get through this, but I don't want to lose anybody in the dust. Does anybody have any questions? Okay. Either you're not listening or I'm doing a great job. Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. And I say also unto thee, if you have a red letter edition, that's Jesus speaking. Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. It's His church, Jesus' church.
Amen.
And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Notice the next verse though. And I will give unto thee, who's he still talking to? His church.
Amen.
The keys of the what? The kingdom of heaven. The keys are given to whom? Wow. Wow. You say, well, what's the big deal about being a member of a church? Oh, you don't know your Bible, friend. Of course, that's not a surprise. Nobody reads their Bible anymore. Church is not about Bible anymore, is it? It's about fun and entertainment and flesh. Singing and dancing and acting a fool. But the Bible says that the real church has been given the keys.
Amen.
To the kingdom of heaven. Wow! Doesn't that thrill your soul a little bit?
Amen.
If you, maybe you just need another cup of coffee, amen. But that ought to thrill your soul. You're not a part of something that is of this world. You're not a part of something that's man-made. You're a part of something that has been given an enormous, an amazing, incredible amount of power and authority. God's church.
Amen.
The keys. Whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Listen now. Heaven follows the church's lead. He said, whatsoever you do down there in that church, I'm going to do up in heaven.
Amen.
He didn't say it the other way around. Now you got questions, don't you? What's he mean by that? What's he mean by that? What's that?
We need to be working.
If we've got the keys, aren't we the ones that are supposed to be unlocking the doors and unlocking the prison cells and for the prisoners to be set free? Who did the Great Commission go to? Who did Jesus tell to be witnesses? Church.
Amen.
And he says, if they get saved, listen, if they get saved down there because you witnessed to them and you set them free, they're saved in heaven. If they're not saved down there, if they reject you, they're rejecting me.
Yep. Amen.
Oh, what do we need that church for? Well, you better read your Bible.
Amen.
If they disgrace you down there, they're disgracing me. If they're disgusting you down there, if they turn their backs on you down there in that church, they're turning their backs on me. You better read your Bible.
Amen.
I'll go to church when I feel like it. Okay. You better read your Bible.
Amen. That's right.
The kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, come down to your kitchen table today.
Yep.
Church.
Amen.
We are not playing some game here. This is not about you and me finding what we can find and getting what we can get. It's about a King of Kings and His decision to make us His loyal subjects, manifesting His power and glory through His church.
Amen. That's right.
The body of Christ, His Son, the first fruits of His power. Well, I tell you what, that thrills my soul.
Amen.
Look in Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Church is not about what you want, what thrills you, what makes you happy. Church is about a King in heaven who rules on His throne. And what He desires is His wish is our command. Colossians chapter 1 verse 13. Who hath delivered us? Let's read 12. Giving thanks unto the Father. Remember, He's the King. He's God. Which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness. And hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. Who's that us in there? The church at Colossae.
Amen.
Who wrote that? Humanly speaking. The Apostle Paul. You ought to know that by now. We just studied the book of Acts. Please. Where did the Apostle Paul come from when he went over there and preached the gospel in Asia? What church sent him out? In Acts chapter 13. Please, somebody. Antioch. Oh, my soul. I hope y'all do better than this in school. Antioch. Another church sending out a missionary to win souls to establish another church. And that church is got the keys to heaven. And that church is sending out a missionary with the keys to heaven and unlocking cells, unlocking prisoners, unlocking them out of the power of darkness and putting them in the kingdom of the dear Son, Jesus Christ. That's what we're talking about. Amen. Amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 12. Verse 11. As ye know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children, that ye would walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto His kingdom and glory. That's written to a church. Another church in Thessalonica. By the missionary Paul, who was there, who was preaching, who started the church, who had the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Tell you what, folks. The kingdom of heaven is a pretty big deal. Pretty big deal. And as we go through these studies of parables, by the way, a great deal of it's going to have to do with the local church. A great deal of it. And the church's origin, the church's present position, and the church's purpose, and the church's future. It's going to have a tremendous amount to do with your local church.
Amen.
These parables. Because he's preaching and teaching on the kingdom of heaven, which is boiled down to today we see you and me as his church. Manifest. This world, listen, they're not subject to the king. And let me say something to you here. If they think they are, but they're not a member of God's church, not any old church, not some man-made church, but a real Bible-based church that's established by God Himself, which has the authority of a mother church and ascending authority. And if they're not a member of that church, they are not a loyal subject to the King of Kings. Whether they think they are or not, they're completely misled, deceived by the power of darkness. What's the big deal about that church? Can I just go to any church? They're all the same. You need to read your Bible.
Amen.
I don't mean to make light of it. Most people just don't know what I'm teaching you right now. Most of you don't know this. It's like, wow. I thought church was just a place where we went when we felt like it. It's a lot more than that, folks. I didn't start this thing. I didn't come up with the church.
Amen.
Acts chapter 20 verse 28 says that God purchased His church with His own blood.
Amen. That's right.
That's a reference, of course, to Calvary.
Yep.
The kingdom was purchased. Every one of you subjects of the King of Kings has been bought and paid for with the ransom of the blood of Jesus Christ. This church thing is not something to be looked at so flippantly like it is today in the world. It's not a gospel rock concert. It's not a place for you to go and I tell you what, I better hurry up because I got a lot to say and I'm trying to stay on course here. So there's it's the reign of God. It's spiritual in nature. It's visibly manifested today in His churches. Not just any old churches, but in the true Bible-based, Bible-given authority, by the authority of God, churches. Now we'll talk more about that. What is the difference between one church? We'll talk more about that as we get into the parables. The parables teach us those things. But it's also both, like I said, present and future. Kind of like what Brother DeVito was saying. The kingdom of heaven has a future element also. Not just the church today, but also Jesus spoke of the future aspect. Let's look at Matthew 25. Matthew 25. Verse 34. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. So there is an inheritance for the kingdom in the future. There is an inheritance as well in the future. Let's look over to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Get frustrated now. Keep trying. Don't put your Bibles down. Keep turning pages. You'll learn. It'll help you. Verse 18. 2 Timothy chapter 4. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me unto His heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. So there is a inheritance in the future, a heavenly kingdom that is, it's not going to be physical per se, but it is going to be in a place and we're all going to be gathered together in that kingdom. Everyone else, listen, everyone else will be burning in hell. Listen to me. Everyone else will be burning in hell. One day, except for those members of the kingdom of God.
Amen. Amen.
Did that dawn on you? Has that dawned on you? Everybody that's not a member of this kingdom will be burning in hell one day, and all of us will be translated into that physical presence of God, our King, for all eternity.
Amen.
Amen. It's sobering. Look in 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 3. Verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. People are living and dying for the things that are just going to burn up.
Yep.
Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved. What things? Yeah, all these things shall be dissolved. What manner of persons ought ye to be? Hello.
Good morning.
He's talking to who? He's talking to Christians now. He says, Christians, listen. All of these things that you're looking at are going to be dissolved. All of these things that the world lives for are going to be burned up with fervent heat. What manner of persons ought ye to be? In all holy conversation and godliness. Why? Verse 12. Looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Folks, that's the kingdom.
Yep.
The new heaven, the new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Righteousness and what else? Righteousness.
Yep.
No more iniquity.
Yep.
No more sin. No more rebellion. No more sorrow. No more sadness. No more filth and wicked. And no more ungodliness. Righteousness.
Yep.
That's the kingdom to come one day. When everything else is gone, including all lost souls, gone. And everybody that's alive will be in the kingdom of God with God ruling and reigning like He rightfully deserves.
Amen.
Amen. So, right now it's spiritual in nature. He should be ruling and reigning in our hearts. He should be manifested in our lives as His church. He should be, the Word of God should be proclaimed, and the love of God and the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ should be manifest through our church. Men, individuals, men and women, boys and girls in this church are getting saved and brought to the knowledge of the salvation of God and the grace of His Son Jesus Christ for one reason, folks, listen to me, is to continue to manifest that power throughout the world.
Amen.
The kingdom of God. Visibly manifest. Spiritual in nature today, because it's only in our hearts. It's only in our hearts. The present sense is the sovereignty of God accepted in your heart. You have to give Him total control of your life now. You have to give it to Him. Surrender it to Him. He doesn't take it right now. Jesus didn't take it. Jesus preached it. Jesus taught it. Jesus lived it.
Amen.
Exemplified it. And He said, okay, now this is what you're to do. I have come that ye might have life. Why? So that ye might manifest that light to all the world. By the way, when that light, God lights your candle and you are born again, doesn't the Bible say that that candle is supposed to go on a candlestick?
Yep.
That candlestick is the church.
Amen.
Amen. That's what it says.
Amen.
Because that's what God is doing. He is growing. He is nurturing. He is using His kingdom to manifest Him, the King, to the lost world through His church. In the spiritual kingdom, God rules in the hearts of men. If you're right with God, He rules in your heart. It's outwardly manifest through the church. In the future sense, like I said, it's culminated with the coming of the Lord. It begins there. He delivers the kingdom to God the Father. Then shall the righteous shine forth. Let's look over in Matthew 13. Matthew 13. Matthew 13, 43. I hope you have a hunger and thirst for the Word of God. This is what's going to change your life. Matthew 13, 43. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Then, future tense. What goes on before that? Look in verse 41. The Son of Man shall send forth His angels, and they shall gather out of His kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun. We're not going to talk about the parable of the wheat and tares, but it's scary how many people are sitting in church going to hell. Sitting in church on their way to hell. The future sense, Jesus is going to deliver that kingdom. We're going to shine forth. It'll be new heaven and new earth, as I just read to you a minute ago, wherein dwelleth righteousness, in which, behold, the tabernacle of God is with them. There's lots of verses. Look over in Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21, verse 3. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. The tabernacle, the physical, literal manifestation, visible, where your faith has now become sight. This is future tense, is with men. He will dwell with them. They shall be His people. God Himself shall be with them and be their God. Blessed, blessed truth. Amen.
Amen.
Some of you ain't looking forward to that because you know you ain't going to be able to keep on living like you are. In those days. His will be done in those days. I pray that you'll understand that. You ought to be living in light of that. It will be experienced only by those in His church who are submitting to God's will. Those who are truly born again. Those who do the will of His Father. Those who are diligent. Listen, I'm not talking about going to heaven. I'm just talking about really being truly born again. You'll have a new heart. You just won't be able to just turn it off like a light switch.
Amen.
You can't. Oh, you can get discouraged. You can get down. You can even get depressed and sad. And you can have hard times. And I understand all that. That's reality of the flesh. But you just can't turn it off. So as we get into these parables, we're going to find many references to the kingdom of heaven. It's going to talk about the present aspect, then talk about the future aspect. Of course, we know where it came from. It came from God Himself, manifested to us in Jesus Christ. And we're going to find out a lot about, like I said last week, who God is, who His subjects are, and what His kingdom is supposed to be, what His kingdom will be, but what His kingdom should be here on this earth. And listen, we're going to talk a lot about the attacks of Satan on this kingdom. I mean, and can I tell you something right now? In most churches, he's winning. In most people, he's winning. Most churches, he's winning. These parables are very eye-opening. This has been a tremendous study for me just getting ready for this. But it's very eye-opening how Jesus warned us over 2,000 years ago that it was going to be like it is today. You cannot, let's turn to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. And I'm done. John chapter 3, verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, a religious ruler. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man, whether you're a ruler of the Jews, whether you're a nobody that nobody knows his name, whether you're born in America, whether you're born anywhere in the world, whether you're white, black, brown, pink, red, or purple, a man must be born again or he cannot see the what? The kingdom of God. A man must be born again or he cannot even see it, let alone enter into it. You'll never even catch a glimpse of it until you're born again.
Amen.
Blessed, blessed truth. Any questions? I hope you're born again today. I hope you understand there's so much more to life than those things that are going to be dissolved, melted with fervent heat. There's a kingdom of righteousness awaiting those who are truly born again.
Amen.
Glory to God. Anybody have any questions? Wow. Anybody want to add anything that they think? I tremble when I say that. Anybody want to comment? Okay. Amen. Yes, sir. What's that? Okay. Does that have to do with the kingdom? 6:10-14. I know that's those are the verses of the Sermon on the Mount. Oh yeah. The prayer. Yep. It sure has to do with the kingdom, doesn't it? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Amen. Yep. Our hearts ought to long for that kingdom to come. Can I tell you, if God's not king of your life, you're not longing for heaven.
Amen.
If God is not king of your heart, you're not longing for heaven. Because you know in heaven, you're not going to be able to keep doing whatever you want to do.
Amen.
Because He will rule and reign, and all that will dwell there is righteousness. Amen. In other words, that is God's will, righteousness. Amen. Y'all, come on, wake up.
Amen.
Wake up. All right, let's bow for prayer. Father, we thank You, Lord, for the truth of Your Word. Thank You, God, for the precious truths, the blessed truths of this book. How they help us, how they encourage us, how they help us see, Lord, what's going to happen. How they remind us of how righteous, holy, powerful, true Thou art. We thank You, God, for Jesus. We thank You for the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, where You rule and reign in our hearts. I pray, God, please, that You would continue to manifest that power and that glory through Your church right here. Lord, we love You. We need to love You more. Thou art the King of kings, the Lord of lords. Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Father, we need You. We need You every day. We long for You. I long for You. I can't speak for everyone else. But Lord, I long for the day when righteousness will be all that dwells therein. I long for the day, Father, when truth will be precious. When wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and righteousness will be held in high regard. Sin and iniquity, rebellion and lasciviousness and the works of the flesh will be once and forever cast down. Oh Lord, I pray You'd bless the remainder of our service now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, let's take a break.